Well, Chef Eric Edgebong is going to join us. Johnson & Wales guy. He's hosting a Food Network's new culinary poker game. It's, don't think they're sitting down with cigars and visors in a dimly lit room. It involves cooking. It involves food. Silly wabbits. So I'll find out about Wild Card Kitchen. It comes your way Tuesdays at 9 on the Food Network. But Chef, well, host of Alex vs. America, he's a network favorite. There's no question of it. And he's, you know, he's, besides hosting, he's popped up on a bunch of shows like Chopped and Guy's Grocery Games. Guy Fieri. He's also done a lot of good things for people out there, too, which you gotta love, gotta love, gotta love. So we're gonna check in. Raul's giving me the thumbs up. Chef Eric Edgebong joins us at 94.1 FM, WLAD, 37 breezy degrees on Danbury's west side. Chef, how are you, young man?
I'm doing well, Bart. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing peachy, and I'm digging Wild Card Kitchen. You combine two of my favorite things, food and poker. And not that I can play poker. You know, I'm generally the person who's bringing the little bowls of snacks to people to keep them happy.
Right.
but these are two of my favorite things. I love me a good poker game. Win, lose, or draw, and I love food, Chef.
Yeah. You know what, Bart? You're in good company, though. I think we always need that designated snack person to come in with every poker game. So you're invited to my table anytime. But yeah, we're playing Wild Card Kitchen, and we're playing culinary poker. It's a little bit different than your standard numbers and diamonds and clubs and stuff like that. We have community cards where essentially we dish out no pun intended, but we deal community cards that are dish related, so it can be anything like street card food to bar snacks or whatever, time anywhere between 20 and 35 minutes, and then an ingredient, so it can be anything like peanut butter or kimchi or what have you, and then I dish out the wild card to each chef individually. So, Bart, your wild card is to you and only you, and it can say that you have to that you have the exclusive use of all the salt in the kitchen. So no other chef can use salt, right? And then maybe another chef's wild card is that they have an extra 7 minutes with their cook. So at that point, you kind of wager and you kind of know your hand, and you also know your opponents as well, and that's when the game really starts, and we see some really delicious and creative food that happens each night.
Well, you're a New York guy, so I already know the wheels are always turning, and you're extra creative and all that stuff. But man, I have to commend everybody who came up with this concept. It's intriguing.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I think when the idea was pitched to me, I'll be honest, I barely play poker. A novice would be generous, so I had to learn on the fly. But what's so great about it is that at the end of the day, I'm so comfortable in talking about food and being around food and being around my chef friends and colleagues. So it was a learning experience for me, and I think it's nice because I come in with a little bit of that novice sort of energy as a host. But I really think, I come in with a little bit more authority when it comes to talking about the food. And the concept is just fun. Brian Lando from Lando Productions is the same creator of Alex vs. America as well. So his mind is just always racing with fun, creative ways to essentially have, competition in food.
You've brought in some truly marvelous and talented people. I'm liking the fact that you brought in Gabrielle Bartaccini. Oh, you devil, you.
We have so many chefs coming in. Manish Chauhan, Brian Malarkey, Antonio LaFaso, Tiffany Faison, Carlos Anthony. Like, the list goes on from the new gen to chefs that you know and love from the network. Gabrielle, like you mentioned as well. So there's so much skill and eclectic points of views. And, you know, we essentially have the community card that says these three chefs have to make the same thing. But we're getting three different versions of it from three different, like, walks of life and POVs. So the food is always forever interesting and unique. And the way these chefs kind of come to making the dishes is always fun to watch as well.
Chef, you know and I know, these days, with the Food Network, no show is complete without some judges. You got a pretty solid group. Mm-hmm. Of judges. There was no willy-nilly in inviting these folks and including them.
No, not at all. I mean, when it very similar to like a restaurant and a food critic, you want honest, earnest criticism about your food. And then again, there's a lot of money on the line. So you want someone who's a studied palate, and the chefs can't pull the wool over these judges' eyes. Like, these judges have been either in competition for years, or, you know, the accolades of the restaurants and the Michelin stars and the food reviews and all that. So these chefs know what the judges at least know what they're talking about. We have Scott Conant, Antonio LaFaso, Amber Rell, Jet Tila, so many judges that, you know, we know and love from Food Network, and obviously we trust their palate and their expertise as well.
You run the gamut. I mean, besides TV, besides being an accomplished author, you walk the walk, you talk the talk. You really are a tremendous chef. Ultimately, I'm going to guess, of all the things that you do, that the working with food part brings you the greatest joy.
Oh, easily. That's the easiest question. I think for sure the hosting is so much fun, and doing things on TV is a lot of fun. But my bread and butter, what I'm really, really good at, is having my feet planted in the kitchen and working the line and working service and prep. And that's what I really, really love to do. But I got to say, this is a pretty cool gig as well, like hosting a TV show on Food Network, a network that I've been watching essentially my entire life. And having an opportunity to do something really cool with chefs that I admire is something that I will never, ever, ever take for granted. I'm so blessed and grateful for it. So I'm in a good space right now. I get to see, chefs at the top of their game making amazing food, and I get to learn from that. And then, you know, when I'm home, I'm cooking and I'm restaurants and consulting and all the above. So I'm in a really good space.
A lot of people don't know about you. Look, you know, they'll know the fact you're a Johnson & Wales guy. There's enough very established Johnson & Wales alum, especially here in the Northeast. And you mentioned Eric Angelpong, then they're going to go, oh, well, yeah, he's a Johnson & Wales guy. But lot of people don't know that you also went overseas. You've got a master's in public health and in international public health and nutrition. You even furthered your education beyond the regular culinary skills.
When you know better, you want to do better, I guess. And you're absolutely right. I went to moved to London, England, and went to the University of Westminster for international public health nutrition, and really wanted to kind of bridge the gap between making a great meal and knowing how to technically make a delicious meal, and really let's expand that. What is that meal doing for my body? What is that meal doing for my family, a community, a region, a state, a country, and so forth and so on? And how does food impact us in a global scale? For folks who don't have so much food security, and there's so many different pockets of things that food and agriculture and lifestyle and technology and all the above that cross intersect with each other, and I'm just fascinated by it, to be honest. So it's not only, you know, making a good meal and you know making food that tastes delicious, but it goes beyond that. And I think, again, having that sort of responsibility sort of pushed me, and it did, to want to know more and use my skill for greater good.
Speaking of greater good, and I mentioned walk the walk, talk the talk, you've been a great global ambassador, I know, along with many celebrities, using that celebrity for good cause. I'll bring up organizations like Save the Children, et cetera, that you have done some great work for over the years, and I commend you for that. Again, going beyond just working over the flame to really, you know, light the fire and get people more connected.
100%. I think I've been given this platform, and it's really, what are you doing with it, you know? And it can't just be all about, you know, the competition and all that's fun and everything that, you know, we know and love and we like to watch, but there's some serious good that can be happening in this world. And if I can play my part in however small or big that is, then I think I'm doing my service as a global citizen, you know what I mean? A person who is aware of my space and how much I take up in the world, but also what I can give back and how I could be meaningful and impactful in other ways. So it's one thing that I feel like it's a civic duty, you know what I mean? And I'm just so blessed that Save the Children and other organizations like that, you know, can align and we can do greater good on a bigger scale rather than just me doing it by myself or them doing it by themselves. We can collaborate and really and hit home like a take-home message together that could be more impactful.
Food Network's new culinary poker game, Wild Card Kitchen. The host, Chef Eric Anjapong himself. It is Tuesdays at 9 on the Food Network. It's really a fun TV ride. And, Chef, I'm just going to say this to you. If you're ever in the neighborhood, please stop by. I know some people who could really use some help in not murdering a pork chop or a brujol or something like that.
I could definitely do that, Bart. That's easy for me.
Yes. Thank you, Chef. Thank you. And it is a fun watch. You know, some of the food competitions could kind of lose you. Not this one.